เชียงใหม่
Today we have
ต่างประเทศ
several groups attending. One from Chiang Mai and another the foreigners. And another one is from Ubon Ratchathani. So Yongpo asked these groups to raise their hands so he know where they are. He's teasing the Chiang Mai group that it's now their turn to travel for so long to listen to Dhamma before Longpo has to travel to all the way to Chiang Mai to give Dhamma. Is there anyone who hasn't come here at all before? Now these days it's quite convenient because they have the car services provided by all the students, some students. So it's easier to come here. And the Dhamma is actually not that difficult. But the thing is, many people haven't listened to what Dhamma really is. And most of the time when they go to listen to Dhamma talk, the monks would usually teach just some basic stuff like morality and basic concentration meditation. Because many of them are reluctant to give like in-depth dhamma because they're not sure that people are ready to accept them. But Longpo doesn't think so. He said many people who come to listen to dhamma are ready and looking for the way out of the samsara what. And way out from sufferings. But if you just listened and don't practice, there's no use, no benefit to it at all. Because Dhamma is would progress and be really yours only through practicing. Because it's learned from experiences and not the knowledge to the brain. And we have to start off studying by opening up your heart. Not assuming that you already know most of the thing or everything from the study before. Because listening or reading are just the knowledge to the brain. But real Dhamma is through practicing and for the heart, for the mind to experience firsthand. So it's not important that you have to come all the way to the temple. Or far away from the masters, because you can listen to Dhamma anywhere, and especially with the technology nowadays. Like when he was studying, Longpo said he didn't have all the technologies then. So he had to really travel to the faraway places to see, to meet the masters. Sometimes he had to take a long ride, and then after the ride is another long walk to reach the temple of the master. But how could he practice successfully? It's because he used his his intuition along with really studied the master, the behavior, the demeanor, the practice of the masters. And he wasn't set to believe anything firsthand. He, just by listening, he would try it out. Because he believed that everything wouldn't because the intuition and if you're careful to try to notice, try to pay attention to what's really going on, you will be practicing successfully as well. And you have to start practicing the first moment you wake up. Just try to notice how your mind function. Like when you gain the consciousness, the first thing when you after you wake up, where the mind goes to. Because usually it would go to what it have the habit of going, like to control or to wander off, you know, for example. And one time he misunderstood that he might reach Nirvana already because his mind went to this realm that it has the habit of going. It's all peaceful and quiet. There's nothing there. Just the awareness. But later on, he realized and he kept noticing and it's just a realm that his mind created. It's just a samatha, a concentration level that the mind reached. Because it had the prior knowledge of thinking, misunderstanding that the nirvana is nothingness, so it created this realm. If you enter this realm, it's stuck there, which is a fault nirvana anyways. It's really risky because you might just stay there for a longest time and there's no progress at all. So you have to be cautious. You have to study what the precepts or what the Buddha is really teaching. You don't think that you already know so much already from the reading or for the prior knowledge. Also, sometimes he would reach this state where it's really bright. And the mind would just stay there in the brightness. He said he realized that it wasn't correct state of mind for wisdom, but he didn't know what went wrong. So he asked Long Tam Mahabua, one of the master, past master, and the master said it was because his concentration level wasn't really enough. So when the mind moved out to the brightness, when the brightness happened, the mind moved out and stayed with the brightness. So it's the one self, one object, and one mind, and that's not vipassana or mindfulness practice. It's just a form of concentration. But it's not the right type of concentration because the mind is not the stable observer. It moved out to the object. Another type of distraction of mindfulness or concentration is
the,
when you
นั่
your
นเรียก
mind
ว่าไม
just
่รู้จักพระพุทธศาสนาเลยยังไม
keep
่รู้จัก
thinking all this dhamma
ทำวิปัสส
อ๋อ
นา
keep
ทำงา
thinking
นวิปัส
about
สนา
the
คือเห็น
teaching all the
ไม่ใช่
time
คิดหรอกเห็นอะไร
the mind and the thinking
ที่ยั
just
งไม่
keep
รู้จักพระ
spinning
ธรรม
and you
ไม่
think
รู้
that
จัก
you're
พระธรร
gaining
ม
knowledge or wisdom
รู้กระทำและนามธรรมรู้แต่แส
but
ดงถึ
actually
งสิ
it's
่งเ
just
ดีย
a
วกั
type
น
of
คือแสดงไตรลักษณ์
low
เมื่อเร
concentration
าเห็นรู
strength
ปธรรมเห็นนามธรรมทั้งหลายเกิดขึ้นตั้งอยู่ดับไปเห็นเรื่องเนื่องสุดท้ายจิตจะยอมรับไตรลักษณ์จิตเข้าใจ
So
when
you
ใดเกิด
practice
สิ่งนั้นก็ดับ
mindfulness you need to see the three characteristics
สิ่งเหล่านี้เปรีย
the
บสอนพวกเรานะ
impermanent
ไม่ใช่ให้
the
คิดเอา
non self and everything
ธรรมะคิดเอาใช้ไม่ได้
and it's true observing
ผิดและซึ่งจะจัดมากกว่าคนปกติผู้เก่งมากกว่าคนปกติ
and don't believe anything so easily just keep observing and you will see the changes because if you are so ready to believe that everything that you experience are wisdoms or the right wisdoms you can self instead of diluting the sense of self
ก็ไม่มีตัวเต็มที่รักษาสมาธิไม่ต้องทำเพราะว่าเป็นความปรุงแต่ง
and you might go so far you already enlightened and there's no need to keep preserve morality or you know respect the precepts or the teachings because you thought that you already gained the wisdoms the wisdom so just stay with the basic keep everything simple keep observing the changes of the everything all the phenomena and the mind
ดูเสร็จระเบิดเลยนะในเวลาสั้นเห็นมีอะไรระเบิดแล้วก็ว่างเปล่าในรูปนี้ไม่มีจริง
and there's no experience
or
occurrence
that
doesn't worth observing
don't
think of it that you already been through that or seen that been there done that
because
it's obviously not enough just yet because if it's enough you would probably enlightened alreadyBecause the mind fully accept the knowledge. That's when you reach enlightenment of certain step. So there's many means or ways or techniques to practice mindfulness.Some of the disciples in the olden days, they used the body contemplation. Some used the mind. Some used feelings. Or mind formations. But the mind formations may consist of both the body and the mind.Physical or mental formations, but whatever the means you are using, eventually it would reach the mental formation or mental contemplation, anyways. And all these techniques would lead to wisdom from mindfulness.You can also observe the changes of the heart or the mind, like or the emotions, the good, the bad, when you change from one thing to another. That's also practicing mindfulness and would reach wisdoms eventually as well. So the first thing for all practitioners are to observe the changes, the phenomena. If you're angry easily, you get angry easily, just observe the anger. When it rises, when it falls away, if it changes in degrees, and don't try to fix it. Just observe the process. This is how to observe. Or if you have all this desire, craving, having so often, just observe that. And some people can
detect
delusions. You can observe that as well. Like sometimes the mind wanders off or stuck in the imagination or thinking process. So just observe the mind moved out and get stuck somewhere, and then you know the thinking or the daydreaming eventually far away. But in order to observe the delusion, you need quite a level of concentration. So you might want move out and get stuck. Anger is actually the easiest thing to observe because it's so strong. It's a strong emotion, and it erupts. So you kind of, you know, easy to detect. But the wanting or the craving or the desires are like the medium strength of concentration required. Because sometimes it feels good, so you don't really detect it. And it's okay when the awareness kicks in anytime throughout the process of the phenomenon. So you don't have to find the reason that causes it, the cause of the anger or the greed. And just use whatever comes up in your mind. If there's no greed or no craving, and you only have anger, just use anger. Or if you have the curious mind, just observe the curiosity level. Or if you have a very busy mind, a scattered mind, just observe that. It's okay as well. There's nothing wrong with that. Now he's asking whether there's anybody who has a cricket as a pet or know a cricket. Like in the olden time, there's a kid's game where they kept the cricket and just spin it around. He's kind of say that the mind that's scattered or busy is just spinning around like the cricket being spinned. But it's okay if you don't see the spinning or that busyness of the mind. Just know that the mind is busy thinking, is doing the thinking. And he said everybody should know the happiness or the unhappiness, wholesome or unwholesome feelings. Just observe when any of that arises and falls away. So the key thing is to observe all these phenomena. But if you can't really assess the feelings in the mind or the emotions of, in the mind, one of the main problems for that is that you think too much. Because you try to cover everything up or you try to make sense of everything by thinking. That's not working out. That's not the right way to gain wisdom. But you really can't assess the mind. You can use the body as well. Because the body stays with you all the time. So basically just change from the mind to the body contemplation. Like now you're sitting or you're nodding. Just sense that your body is doing the sitting or the nodding. But don't focus on the nodding or the movement too much. Because it's not so unnatural. It's too much intention. So it's not real. Now, whose body is moving? Just raise your hand. So now everybody's body is doing the moving by raising the hand. So just sense the hand, the arm is raised up. And you just laugh and just sense that the body is doing the laughing. And when you move left and right or scratch here and there, just sense that there's those activities going on. Just observe it as in the third person perspective, that the body is doing something and the mind is an observer. And just put some notion that because it's suffering, the body needs to change or to move. You don't have to know or be aware all the time, because that would be unnatural and too much intention. It would be too over-focusing. So just wait until something comes up, like some feelings or emotions comes up in the mind or in the heart. But if you can't sense that, just feel the body, like feeling the body doing the breathing in and doing breathing out. Because whatever the emotions you may have in the mind, the body is there doing the breathing. So you can use the body as your main object. But just think of it as the body is doing the moving, the breathing. It's not you doing the breathing. Observe the body doing all this movement, like walking, sitting, eating. There's no self in it, really. But if you don't have the awareness, you will feel like you are doing those movements. With the mindfulness, you will be able to observe the body as a separate unit from the mind. So just observing the body from the third person perspective, having the mind as the observer, that's the body contemplation. If you use the breath as your main object, don't put all your focus or intention on the breath itself, because that's not practicing vipassana. It's going to be samatha or concentration instead. Like the Buddha teaches us when doing anapanasati or breathing meditation, he doesn't say to focus on the breath. But he tells us to observe the body doing the short breath or the long breath. Just have awareness. But for some people, breathing is not a good concentration object. So they can use the whole body doing all these movements, like now you're sitting. Just sense that the body is doing the sitting, having this posture. You don't have to find the observer, because some moments you would just be aware that, oh, that's an observer, and that's good enough. So you don't have to find where the observer is or the source of the observer. So just whenever you have this awareness or mindfulness, you automatically have the observer. So if you use the body, just okay, observe all the postures, the gesture the body is doing. And the more in-depth of the body contemplation is not just observing the core gesture, but feeling, sensing the movement. Like when you're dressing, getting dressed, just feeling, sensing the body's moving. putting on the dresses. This is getting in the aspect of consciousness. Or like when you're eating, don't just get lost on chewing and talking. You know, just have this consciousness or awareness. Just use a very simple natural mind, state of mind. Just feeling all the breathing through the gestures, the postures, feeling the movement when it stops. In a very relaxing manner and with a very relaxing state of mind. And eventually you will be able to detect that even the observer is not you. There's no self in either in physical or mental formations in anything at all. And when the mind truly and fully accepts this knowledge, this wisdom, we reach the first level of enlightenment. So the most difficult one to practice mindfulness is the mental formations, contemplations. Because the first three are very natural to us. Okay. So just use your hand to press on something like the floor. Okay, and use another hand to touch the arm that pressed down. Could you feel the hardness on the arm? Okay, now release, relax the arm. And that arm now feels softer. Okay, so now he's teaching about the hardness was because of the earth elements increase when you flex. And when you release and relax, the earth element reduce, decrease. So now, what is laughing? What is smiling? Let's just see this thing doing the laughing, the smiling. Oh, okay. So the element contemplation is still in the category of body contemplation, but it's like more the advanced level of it, which is really difficult, and you really need to have like a strong concentration strength to really see the elements. And some people also observe the suffering within the body, like the pain, the itchiness. Who hasn't scratched since you've been sitting here? There's no answer. But Lungpo said it's not because you don't feel itchiness, but because you didn't realize it. Because the scratching comes so naturally to you, and you don't have the awareness. So it really proves that human is close related to monkeys, or vice versa. He's telling a story that some master even said that Mara, the devil, are more reserved and cautious than human. When they sit and listen to the Dhamma talk, it's really, really polite, really still. But humans move about all the time, stretch here, scratch there. But just have the awareness. So what was just now laughing? Did you have the awareness with it? Did you realize that as happiness rise up? So if you didn't realize that the body was doing the laughing, then you didn't do the body contemplation. And if you didn't realize the happiness or the wholesome feeling arise, you didn't do the mental the mind contemplation. So some schools are so strict that you prohibit the students to laugh because you will lose mindfulness so easily. But that's too strict. It's so unnatural. It's okay to forget or to be mindless sometimes, because that's only natural. He asked whether Arahant would have mindfulness all the time. He said no. Because when everyone really sense any perception through the sense doors, there's no awareness then. At first stage of perception, then awareness kicks in later on. So when the mindfulness kicks in for the arahant, it doesn't reach all the perceptions or formations or fabrications don't reach the mind. They stay separate. But for the lay people or the ordinary people, it would reach the mind, sometimes overpower the mind, and the mind would form the, you know, fabrications of so what, so forth. So keep observing all phenomena. If you can observe the mental formations, do that. Or you can also use the physical formation. Like now, next we're going to have breakfast. So when you see all this food, just observe the mind. Like this dish appeals to you, or that kind of irk. Or you start thinking about other people surrounding you and criticize their behavior, or, you know, those kind of thing. So if you can't assess those, just observe your own body, like holding up the plate, walking, waiting, standing in line, or when you eat, see the jaw, the mouth moving. Okay, so just keep observing throughout the breakfast time. Okay, so now that's it for the first session.